I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gavin, and this is your recap episode for round one of the WGC Workday. And joining me to break it all down, it's Kyle Porter. KP, what's going on?
I love a sport where a guy named Wade Ormsby can beat the best player in the world by 9 strokes in the first round of an event for $10.5 million. It's just the best.
Completely normal. Completely normal sport we have here on our hands.
so normal. I don't know. Concession's great.
So far, so good.
Yeah, we'll talk about the board, but this is not the leaderboard that I expected. I didn't think this is how it would go, but I think it's been fun so far.
Oh, it's been awesome. It's obviously we'll talk about the top of the leaderboard. Probably going to talk about the bottom of the leaderboard as well. We've got some of the best players in the world pulling up the rear here. But what we do have real quick at the top here is a quick Tiger update, KP. And as we're going to do over the course of the next couple of days, weeks, months, whatever this is, as we get more information, we'll talk about it. So the latest updates, LA Sheriff's County says Tiger Woods was not impaired during his accident on Tuesday morning. And you actually have a piece up on CBSSports.com right now where you got a little insight from a real life doctor about the severity of Tiger's injuries.
Yeah, I talked to my wife yesterday and I was like, you know, whenever I signed up for this job, I didn't think I'd be talking to orthopedic surgeons about fasciotomies. I don't even know how to say it, pronounce it.
Sounds great.
Let's talk about it. But yeah, so I talked to Michael Zuri, who is an ortho guy out of Tampa, and we talked for a while, and he was good because, you know, you and I read that release and it's like, I don't know, there's a bunch of words in here that I'm not smart enough to understand. And yep, he was sort of saying like, this is really serious and like limb threatening serious still at this point, even though it's like, okay, he's stable, he's alert, like that doesn't mean this is over. Mm-hmm. By any stretch. And you know, the thing that was the and people have probably talked about this or whatever, but the crazy, like, I understand a snap bone, like I can envision that. The part that was crazy was this fasciotomy where they like cut this sort of sheath that surrounds your muscles to release, it's like letting the air out of a balloon, to release all the pressure that's built up inside the bone area. Wow. Because if not, it can start expanding and swelling and you can lose your leg. And he was like, they have to cut it, but then you have to leave it open. I talked to him on Wednesday. He's like, I don't know this, but Tiger probably has like a bag around his leg because it's just open.
Wow.
In the hospital. Gotta,
like, just has to what, like air out for a while? Like, I don't know another way to put it.
I mean, that's like sounds like a really weird thing to say, but that's literally, it just has to like deflate essentially.
Oh, wow.
And then you come back in, he was like, probably skin grafts. Like, he used the word devastating. Like, it's just a devastating injury, you know, to your body. And It was pretty sobering to talk, because you see stuff on Twitter, like, I don't know, man. Like, but when you talk to an ortho guy and it's like, oh, that's really serious.
Yeah. Or, you know, in modern medicine and modern surgery and modern technology, it's like, oh yeah, he was in surgery for, I don't know what, 8-10 hours or whatever it was. It's like, and now he's, you know, awake and alert. But yeah, it's more to that. And we've heard people say, okay, we still got to make sure that nothing gets infected and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So obviously, as we've been saying, the first of many steps in this process. But we did get golf today, KP. We actually had two different events, but we're going to focus here on the WGC, the concession. It has a leaderboard that I don't think we envisioned through the first round. So first of all, it's Webb Simpson and Matthew Fitzpatrick at the top. Simpson, who we have routinely described as one of the most underrated players on the face of the earth, only played once on the West Coast, kind of before starting his Florida kick here. So flying in a bit under the radar, and we didn't know what to expect from the concession, but it's a very solid 66 that has him T1 after the first round.
Yeah, and it was. By the way, we still have John Rahm on the course. He might tie thing up with a birdie at the last. But you know, I was on HQ, I think on Wednesday night, so the day before this tournament went down, and talking about how like fade Webb. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, because like he didn't play great at Phoenix, and that's sort of where he thrives. And this to me, it wasn't a park that you're like, oh yeah, Webb. Like Webb's going to be awesome this week, and it, you know, he could still fall off. But I was thinking about this, and I want to get your take on this. So Fitzpatrick and Webb, neither are good off the tee. They were both unreal, basically post tee shot today, and that's kind of the deal, right? Like I was thinking, is Fitzpatrick just sort of a lesser Webb?
Interesting. I've never thought of that, but. So I guess the idea is like, hey, be neutral off the tee and then try to be as great as you can be from fairway through green. And we've talked about this a lot where Webb is like the guy from fairway through green. And if Fitzpatrick is like, I don't know, 80% of that, he's probably going to have a lot of success. That's a pretty good comp. I could see that.
And I think it breaks down a little bit because I think Webb is a better iron player. And Fitzpatrick might be a little bit better putter. I don't know. I haven't really like compared their numbers head to head, but I don't know. I thought it was interesting. You know, they've both won USGA events. Obviously Webb wins the US Open. Fitzpatrick wins the US Amateur at Brookline. And you know, they both can, it's just, I think people don't realize how good you have to be post tee shot to keep up with like the DJ, Rory, that whole crew. And they were, I mean, they made a combined one bogey on a course that, I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me. It felt like doubles and triples were everywhere, and they only made one bogey combined. So I was super impressed by both of them.
Yeah. And as we talk, John Rahm just punched out of the tree. So unless he holds this from, I don't know what he is, like 150, 180 yards out for birdie, he's not going to get to that number, but looks like he's out of trouble. You know, the Fitzpatrick stuff, a little Fitz magic actually is what it is in round ones. So Justin Ray has this, his last two opening rounds. But Riviera, he shoots a 66 and hits 8 greens. At the concession, he shoots a 66 and hits 15 greens. Again, this is a very weird sport, and there are a lot of ways to get it done.
Yeah, there are. And, you know, I think, do you think concession, so both of these courses, and I was thinking about this as it relates to Riviera, they're both difficult, right? And I think they're difficult in different ways, but I'm not totally sure what I mean by that. I the way I view concession is that it seems wider open, like in terms of your tee shot. There's kind of more room to play with off the tee than Riviera. And Riviera, it seems like you just, and Cantlay and Spieth said this, you have to have your leaves have to be in the right spot. Right. And with concession, it's like, I think it's more penal if you miss the green.
So I think so too. So it's kind of weird. And I think Greg described Riviera last week as like death by 1,000 cuts, which is like, there's not a lot of doubles or triples lurking, but you can make bogey for 4 consecutive holes. The concession is kind of different where, I mean, Harris English took like a quad from around the green. Like it was devastating. Yeah. There's not a penalty shot in there. I mean, we saw Justin Thomas then, if you are loose with your driver, you can find water off the tee. So it feels like there's just a lot more big numbers, and we're probably going to get a very similar scoring average where the concession today is going to play just about even par. I think that's what Riviera did on Sunday. I think they were pretty close to even par last week. So, it's different Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday was 73 at Riviera or 72 or whatever. And maybe it's as simple as the water because you don't get that at Riviera, obviously, but you do at Concession. Man, if it's windy at Concession, yep. Holy cow. It's going to be insane. It does look like a Florida course though, right? Like if you showed an aerial or whatever, it'd be like, they're in Florida.
That reminds me. So you're absolutely right. If you dropped me in the middle of this course, I would have known exactly where I was. By the way, there is this game, which I will have to send you a link for. It's called Geo Guesser. It drops you somewhere in the world and you have to like pinpoint where you are, which is like amazing. And there is a golf course version of it where it will drop you on a famous golf course and you have to identify it and then go pinpoint it on a map. It is like the most fun I've ever had in my entire life. So
it's fantastic.
It's a time killer for sure. Brooks Koepka might be back. Brooks Koepka goes out and shoots a 5-under round. And KP started on the back nine today, which was the first time he's ever seen it. I guess didn't feel the need to get those nine in during his practice rounds over the course of the last couple of days. Unbelievable.
Well, you know, Brooks is back when he's talking about how little he cares about playing and practicing and all that. So. Yep. I mean, he was great. You know, he putted it really well. He had a 35 footer that I watched on, was it 7, 8, somewhere around the end of his round. And he putted it great. So I think he's going to play well this week. I really wanted to pick him for our one and done, but I got scared because I was like, oh, it's not a major, you know, but he he does seem to be. I wonder how much of it for him is just like the confidence and the swagger stuff, you know, of just like,
okay, a lot.
I'm the best, you know what, player in the world. Yeah. And as long as he's healthy and he's thinking that way, it seems like he's gonna be. I don't know.
Swag's back.
If there was a major tomorrow, like that started, if the first major started next week. And I was doing my like rankings list of who's going to, you know, most likely to win. He'd be 2 or 3. I mean, he just would based on Phoenix, based on kind of the first round. I mean, I think mentally he's sort of back to where we're used to him being, I guess.
Yeah, he looks good. He looks really good. Flipping this leaderboard over, there are some big names who did not play well around the Concession. Bryson DeChambeau shot a 77. That's 5 over par. Justin Thomas actually fought back. He started out, I think he was 4 over very early. He finished at 1 over par. There's another one I'm missing down here. Oh, Dustin Johnson, he's the number one player in the world. Also a 5-over round of 77. And then KP, Matthew Wolf is broken. And he shot an 81. That's or 83. That's 11 over.
I watched Wolf they showed him a lot. I kind of felt bad for him. But he lost 7 strokes. How about this? He gained strokes with his approach play. And he lost 11 strokes overall. How is that possible?
This goes back to, I mean, his driver's been bad for like 5 or 6 starts in a row.
I know.
But this goes back to Torrey, where when he withdrew and he cited a hand injury after round one, that's when the driver got really bad. And, you know, the around the green game's always been troublesome. The putter gets hot at times, but yeah, this is weird now. And he's got the slumped shoulders and, I don't know. I mean, is he gonna WD this, or is he just gonna fight back for the next 3 days?
I don't know, because did you see him hit that putt?
When he was on his practice.
Yeah, he was taking practice strokes and he did the Zach Johnson where he accidentally hit it. And I think he gets to put it back, but he just looks like way out of it. Like, and I don't, maybe that's an injury thing. I don't know, but that is just a weird thing. When that happens, you're like, wait a second, what's going on here? And maybe it's just that he loses focus because you're, you know, 9 over or whatever. But I would think if it was the hand that he'd be hitting the ball worse with his irons.
I would agree with you. I can't explain it. I can look at the numbers and say this is what we kind of seen this for a couple of weeks, but. I agree. I have no explanation for this.
The other one was JT was -4 off the tee and +4 with his approach shots. That's not good.
He lost it. I mean, his drives, he had like three or four drives that found the water. I don't know how many it was, but like his first nine holes was, he was wet constantly.
Whenever it was bad, but whenever the other guy, whenever DJ, when it starts going badly, you can tell he'll just miss putts by like 4 feet. Yeah, it's not so bad.
Yeah, that's when you know things are going wild. All right, well, looking ahead to the rest of the week, obviously 18 in the books and anything can happen. I mean, these leaders can go out and shoot a 77 on Friday. We might see a bit of movement. It's a pretty packed leaderboard, at least the top half of it. I think a lot of guys are still in contention. And our friends over at William Hill have John Rahm installed as the current betting favorite. He's plus 550, but he's lined up a bogey putt right now, so I don't know if that's going to change. Brooks Koepka, 6.5 to 1. Webb Simpson is 7 to 1. And then you get into the double figures with Fitzpatrick at 10, and Rory's there at 11. Rory played well on Thursday.
Yeah, I like Rory here. I like Finau here. Those are pretty good numbers after good days. Rory and Finau, last time I looked, I'll look again, they were both top five tee to green. So that's sort of what I'm looking at. So Rory was fourth from tee to green, and Finau was sixth.
Yep.
And Rory's the only guy. Rory and Sergio are basically the only guys that were really bad with the putter that are in kind of your top 15 or so. So Rory's interesting because, I mean, we've talked about it. Like the thing for him over the last 3 or 4 months that's been up and down is his iron play. And it wasn't great, but it was good enough that you're like, he could win this tournament. So I think him and Finau out of this, what we've got up on the board right here, are your most interesting ones.
I completely agree. Rory has the best tee to green number, who lost over a stroke putting, which is good. Sergio lost a half a stroke. I'm scrolling down. Will Zalatoris, 66 to 1. Have you seen his numbers? Because he lost 3 strokes putting on Thursday. He was like 12th in the field in tee to green, and he's usually a positive putter. He's ranked 71st on tour this year. He's a positive putter. I don't think there's any way he loses 3 shots on the greens again.
Yeah, Vibin was up there too. He lost 3 as well. So yeah, it's gonna be fun. This is not a tournament that, I mean, look, like it's by the way, earlier they showed a graphic that had Patrick Reed as the 2013 winner of the WGC Workday Championship at the concession. I was like, it literally says
no
at the concession and shows him hitting the winning putt at Doral, which was like 3 venues ago.
Oh, not even at Chapultepec, at Doral.
Yeah, at Doral. And then he won it at Chapultepec last year. But it was showing Doral, oh, okay. which was hilarious. But I hope it gets windy, because that's when, you know, and look, like Fitzpatrick. When I'm looking at this board, you think about wind. Remember what he did at Bay Hill last year in the wind.
Yeah.
Played great there on, I think it was Saturday or Sunday. He was just unreal. And then Memorial, which is a course that we keep kind of referencing when we talk about the concession. So I don't really think he's going anywhere. And I think that the top of this board is super intriguing. I hope it blows all weekend. I think that would be awesome.
Me too. I think we're in store for a really good one. And we might just see guys who don't withdraw might just be carnage all week long anyway, which is always fun. For now, that'll do it. That's Kyle Porter, who you can follow on Twitter at Kyle Porter CBS. You can follow me on Twitter at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.